Well, it's interview time again with Keith McHenry, who I've woken up at 7:30 in the morning. This looks like a sunny Monday morning down here. Hi, Keith.
Hi, how's it going, man?
Well, I'm okay. How about yourself?
Oh, not too bad. I've kind of too much sun the last couple of days. We've been involved in protesting, first of all, out at Chowchilla, which was frightening, and what was going on there was there's a coalition of prisoner rights groups of, unfortunately, groups that you probably should get in touch with that are have been organizing against, in this case, the Chowchilla women's prisons, and this is a very frightening part of the world. It's out in the middle of the Central Valley. There's a protest Saturday at noon. It took like 3 hours, 3.5 hours to drive to this place. It looks like concentration camp. They're the most modern. If one is just opened, they're already tripled up. And they also, which means that there's 6 women per 2 women facilities. And it's a high security prison. And in they also have the SHU, which is there, the security housing unit for women, where women are locked in solitary confinement for between three months up to half a year in many cases, and a very grotesque, just unbelievably, just the whole place was so ugly and disgusting. It must be just the, you know, to be riding on a prison bus to this location must cause you so much pain. It's just incredible. And the cops were very intense on trying to suppress the protests. But
how many of you were there?
Probably about, I handed out 100 of your flyers, 100 flyers advertising protest, which is being held at 4 o'clock on the 17th of June at 850 Bryant Street. So I printed up 200 flyers and handed out half the pile. So it was around 100 people, and they're the most dedicated prison activists in the state. So that was a very good crowd to make to do outreach to. And then yesterday we protested at Bill Clinton's arrival to a $100,000 plate fundraiser dinner at Dianne Feinstein's mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And you were about like 2 blocks away from her house. That's as close as you could get. And so I got hassled delivering the food and the table. I got a ticket for just arriving. And then when I came to Penn, then I said, well, we'll carry the stuff even further away from the site, carry it, you know, like another, you know, several hundred feet away from where we were, had originally dropped it off, where we got a ticket, and we still got a ticket to where when we came to pick it up. So
the police have not given up attacking Food Not Bomb?
No, and there's another interesting story. I brought a bunch of bagels to a death penalty, in a protest against the death penalty at UM Plaza last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do a radio show, so I had to split and go to San Francisco Liberation Radio. And yesterday, when I go to the Clinton rally, the people who were there at the who I left the bagels with at this death penalty protest said that the police came and said that they asked if the bagels were from Food Not Bombs. The people said yes. They said, "Well, we're either going to take the bagels or we're going to arrest all of you."
Are you kidding?
Amazing. And 3 or 4 different people came up to me at different times during the protest to tell me this story.
This is the good old days back again.
Yeah. So it's. This, of course, there's a little comment made that you may not have heard at the very end of your horrible thing that happened.
The sentence modification hearing that didn't happen, so to speak. Didn't get modified. It was unmodified.
It was unmodified. And so at any rate, Hallinan kind of walks by. He's been very supportive, but he whispers to me, so now do you want to go get the permit?
Oh, really?
No way are we going to...
Interesting.
So what that means is that arrests in San Francisco are...
imminent?
Are going to happen, yeah. That's what I think is...
So in other words, what you're saying, actually, for our listeners, the background of this is that you you and Food Not Bombs have offered to get a performer's permit, but not to go into an elaborate health and parks and rec permit process again, given the kind of bad faith that was shown by both those departments in the past, and the fact that on principle it seems to be a matter, not a health concern, but a matter of basic right to share free food?
Yes, it's a basic right to share free food. If we start allowing the government to regulate all human activity, then, you know, what's the difference between here and any other fascist country? You know?
Now, well, what about those who would say to you, hey, look, it's a health concern if you're serving hot food to the public? Doesn't the public have a right to, or at least doesn't the city have an obligation to make sure that that food is healthy?
Well, the food program that the city's offering, which is dumpsters, are not health inspected. And I have to say, I worked very hard to try to have health certification for the dumpster at Civic Center Plaza and was unsuccessful. The health department would not issue us a permit for that dumpster. And yet, so that's the program they've got for the poor people in San Francisco. So our food is much better. In fact, it's Narcy Davis, the food critic here at KCBS, said our food was some of the best vegetarian cuisine in San Francisco, and you couldn't beat the price. So no one has ever been made sick eating at any Food Not Bombs. That's what I testified to at your sentence modification hearing, and not in any of the groups. And that's because it's the food is vegetarian. There's no dairy. There's no stuff that's going to go bad or spoil. And the people are very careful about what they're doing. So that's ridiculous. The other thing is that the government itself is in no position to be going around to, you know, determining anything at this point. They're on the TV saying that the economy is fantastic and we're at a time of peace. Yet, you know, people are being gunned down and killed by the police like crazy all over the country. And people are starving. According to San Francisco Food Bank, 90,000 people a month go hungry in San Francisco. So this is one of the most prosperous cities. It's the highest rent in the United States. It's it should be a place where no one goes hungry. But, you know, instead they've spent, city government spent $10 million or more trying to stop Food Not Bombs, and they're going to spend now $175 a day to house you in a jail which is being penalized at $5,000 a day by federal Judge Orlick for jail overcrowding. So, these people have lost their minds. The thing that's it has generated national and international news. Your sentence,
59-day jail sentence. Yeah,
it's really 59 days, and that's what we have in our press release. Although the media actually has been calling it 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten called. It was on the largest talk radio show. It's been announcing this in Los Angeles, KFI.
So they haven't called me for an interview.
No, we're trying to get them to call you. They've not even called us for an interview.
Mm-hmm.
The London Times and those papers seem to be interested. We were supposed to get another call this morning from a Toronto radio station about this case. So we're trying to get the word out as to...
Well, I can tell you that down here in Santa Cruz, the local Santa Cruz Sentinel, also known as the Urinal or the Resentinel by its critics,
right,
as well as radio station KSCO, which actually has unprintable designations by its critics, neither have contacted me for an exclusive interview, and I frankly feel quite hurt.
Well, don't be surprised. These people are not of the caliber that... one would expect.
I'm afraid that, you know, who knows, that they have a different point of view on these issues. But I find that very shocking, that, and actually, it all seems to fit pretty well, though, when you talk about district attorney and former supervisor, and former radical, Terrence Hallinan, telling you with a kind of, what he said, with a wink, you should now go get the permits, or...
He came up and says, he said it very quietly, now do you want to come with me, and he said, now do you want to get the permits, as though... Now, see, this is what's happened. Now you want to get the permits. And the permits that we supposedly got with Terrence Hallinan before were in a bush. No one ever walked by.
You're talking about it, you were told you had to take a location that was removed from public view instead of your usual location, which was initially in front of Civic Center Plaza and then down at UN Plaza. in San Francisco where you feed, you were feeding twice a day, now you're feeding once a day?
Right, yeah, we were put into, well, the whole history of the permit process is every time we've had a permit, it's been either immediately taken from us under the pretext of some phony, like, violation. In one case, we didn't have a tent because the police claimed we didn't have another, yet one more permit, and we were told explicitly, we asked in writing, do we now have all permits? And they claimed we had all permits, and then we had to take a tent down at the same time that the police arrived with the health department, and the health the police said, okay, we're going to confiscate your tent if you don't take it down.
And the health inspector, 10 minutes later, said, you have no tent, you're getting a permit violation.
As we were taking it to the bar, he says, well, I'm going to give you a citation for violating the health permit. He was standing next to the cop who ordered us to take the tent down.
This was back in 1989.
This was in 89. This was something that was prearranged by the police department and the health department out of Mayor Art Agnos's office at that time. He's now head of HUD Region 9, this region.
The department, the health department.
He's destroying huge amounts of public housing throughout.
Who is this?
This is Art Agnos.
Oh, you're talking about the man who was mayor at that time.
Yeah, the former mayor.
The so-called liberal.
The other thing that's gone on in the Food Not Bombs world is that the same day that you are going to be starting your 59 days in jail.
June 17th,
Whittier Food Not Bombs, two people in Whittier, stand trial for sharing free food in what's called Central Park in Whittier. That's the town which Richard Nixon comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been sharing food there for several years now, since I believe it's 1993, definitely, maybe 92 even.
Once per month?
And once every week, every Sunday, they've been faithfully showing up. And so they are now facing time in jail for that. And there's also...
And before you go on, let me ask you, is this going to be a trial before a superior court for violation of a court order in the sense of with a 5-day jail penalty, or is it going to be under the same law I had, contempt of court, which imperils them for 6 months, or is it going to be under the state health and safety code under which two people were convicted here in Santa Cruz in 1989, which was of not having a food facility permit, a transparent kind of bogus attack on usually people serving the homeless who don't have commercial permits the way large restaurants are expected to?
It'll be the same way as what happened in Santa Cruz. They're charged with not having a food facility.
That's the CURFL law, so-called, that ordinance 27552, I believe, of the Health and Safety Code.
And it is bogus. It does say in the law on page 3 that you do not, if you're an association like us, you don't need such a, we're not a food facility, and therefore we do not need such a permit. But at the time that you were arrested, we had two such permits that were suspended, and they were suspended because there was an ordinance passed by the Recreation and Parks Commission outlawing permits to share food in city parks to the homeless. So there was no fit way in the world you could have gotten a permit to serve food at the time you were arrested. And the fact that you're having to do 60 days in jail for something that is so even on the face of their own laws is not right, is outrageous. And that the judges up and down the state from, I forget how high you went to state appellate court, right?
We actually went as far on one of the issues of the California Supreme Court.
Correct. And then in here, the judges are so immoral and corrupt in this state, and uniformly. And it is just, it's very rare. Maybe the most enlightened judge in California is Felton Henderson and Claudia Wilkins, who's a
federal judge.
Federal judges, but God, in the state courts, they're just impossible. And there's only one municipal court judge that even is slightly honest in San Francisco, and that's Judge Donaldson, who is a former gay rights activist who became a lawyer and then a judge because he was beaten by the police at the Elephant Walk in the Castro in 68. So.
Well, Whittier, it's interesting. I guess what are the names of the two individuals down there who face, I presume, a jury trial?
That would be Bruce Haggart and Carrie Chandler.
Bruce Haggard and Kerry Chandler. Well, my hat's off to them, and I'm glad that they're standing up to just say no to this attempt to intimidate people from the most basic basic right and the most basic form of sharing and charity, which is to feed other people.
Right. It is very sickening. It was fascinating in handing out flyers on your case yesterday at the Hate Street Fair, which is something we also did. A lot of people came up and said that they were outraged that that this kind of things were happening. We hope that they show their outrage by showing up at this 4 o'clock protest. We were going to discuss that.
This will be 4 o'clock on June 17th at the Hall of Justice.
Correct. And
which is at 850 Bryant Street in San Francisco for all of our listeners here.
7th and 6th Street. And tonight we're going to have we have the events planning committee for Food Not Bombs here in San Francisco at Muddy's in the Mission, and we're going to it's the 24th Street Muddy's, because there's about 100 Muddy's in the Mission. But to decide other things. Now, there's been suggestions of a vigil outside of 850 Bryant Street for the entire time that you're in. There's proposals of fasts, things like this. Now, people a lot of people go, oh, it's only 2 months, only 2 months. But for instance, at Chowchilla, I was talking to women who did 5 and 10 years in Chowchilla and did time in this shoe, and they heard somebody was going to do 60 days for serving free food. They were completely mortified. And these are people that do have experience of long prison terms that are as horrified as, they were more horrified at the idea that anyone would do 60 days in jail than the average person for serving free food. They were just couldn't believe it.
Well, I think even more ominous than this is the fact that, I find Helen Ann's comment, I suppose it can be taken a number of different ways, this comment to you as you left the courtroom, but the actions of the San Francisco police in making arrests, what were you charged with in these two tickets that you got yesterday?
I'm just charged with, stop. I didn't get arrested. I got ticketed for motor vehicle violations, but it's the kind of thing where I'm like...
Were you guilty of the motor vehicle violations?
Only if you were like wanting to loosely extrapolate that when it said no parking, and that meant everywhere in that part of town. I mean, we're 2 blocks away from Feinstein's house. What does one expect? And what's going on these days, at every protest that I attend, they declare any place that you pull over and unload illegal.
Mm-hmm.
it just becomes a Stephen Dunifer's trial. I got a $250 ticket there.
Stephen Dunifer of Free Radio Berkeley was fighting to make sure that the airways remain open to those without money.
Right. They just declare any area where illegal to be in just because they can. And, this is just down the street from my house. I'm like, this is like huge bags of bagels and a huge box of literature and stuff. We're just dropping it off on the side street to carry it down to the demonstration. And they run down the street and catch us and hassle us and give us two tickets.
So they didn't just leave it on your window.
They came and they threatened to tow us. They yelled at us. They called the tow truck and gave us this huge hard time. And this is every protest. This isn't just. And the thing about it, of course, is that it's just this annoyance thing. It's like, one's a several hundred dollar ticket, and one's 25.
Well, it's a form of harassment. It's like what was happening with the Black Panther Party in Oakland in the late 60s and why they took to carrying rifles around with them, I guess.
Well, we have definitely, in talking to our Black Panther friends here, they have said that in those days that was definitely appropriate. Now, with the level of militarism of the common average law enforcement agency, they say, obviously, unless you can acquire armored personnel vehicles, stay away from that concept.
And bazookas and rocket launchers.
I mean, the amount of helicopters that have been flying above our house all night long here is just crazy. And
well, what about this situation when you mentioned that Food Not Bombs bagels were they taken by the police at this prior rally?
The bagels and all these unsuspecting people who thought that the case.
Now, what rally was this again?
It was a protest against the death penalty.
And what? When was this?
This was last Tuesday.
This was Tuesday the 4th.
So something like, yeah, it was that recently ago, yeah.
And so they, do you think this is some kind of rogue division of the police, or is it officially sanctioned from, like, or winked at by Brown and Hallinan?
It's very hard to say. I think that it's, what's happened is that it's really, it's not a rogue part of the department, it's Dick Holder, who is still deputy chief. And it's Dick Holder's relationship with the business community that's behind this. And the it's a tactic that's being done, so it's not, this is the same as the Matrix program. See, they're publicly, everyone's saying the Matrix program is over, yet arrests for Matrix quality of life type infractions are up.
Is that still up? And we talking about May, or because I know that they were up earlier this year, but I wondered if that statistic continues.
Yeah, we don't have May's in, but April and
March,
January, March, and April, they're up, and homeless people are saying that they're getting jacked up all the time, and I'm watching them get jacked up all the time, and it looks just like the Matrix, and people are losing, having all their belongings taken and destroyed as they were under the Matrix. Well, so now what they're having is there's no policy to arrest Food Not Bombs, but they're just hassling Food Not Bombs all the time.
They're hassling, and they're apparently arresting the bagels.
Right. They're seizing food, and they...
bagging the bagels.
They didn't tax... When the media was around at the... But the protests, they didn't take the bagels.
On the 7th, yeah, talking about on the 10th when I went to
But when it's not like a protest, it seems, you know, I mean, if it's some kind of other time, there's definitely, there's no media around. My suspicion is we would start getting busted, and we may start getting really clamped down on. And this whole issue of, oh, you got to get a permit, to try to get the group to cave in on that. Now, I don't think Food Not Bombs is going to go with any kind of permit thing at this rate. I mean, the stuff that we have run into at the hands of the state have just been crazy. So there's, I just cannot imagine that.
The point being, not so much that getting a permit would be per se a mistake, but rather that the process of entering into a permit negotiation would subject you to endless harassment, I should say endless Byzantine involvement that doesn't really lead to a permit, but that leads instead to further demands for changes here, there, and everywhere, and further demands you get out of sight, and things of that sort.
Right, that's what it would be used to, you know, the whole permit thing has been a smokescreen from the beginning. When we first were arrested, the whole reason we were arrested is we made the mistake of writing, and this is one thing I should tell the listeners, you know, I'm not the guy that is being hounded because I'm like somehow the most radical guy in San Francisco or something. I'm the guy that's being attacked by the police and smeared in the media and, you know, suffered 10 beatings.
We are talking, by the way, those of you who just tuned in, to Keith McHenry,
right,
a food activist in San Francisco with the organization Food Not Bombs.
Yeah, that I'm targeted because I am the only person who happened to have, I had made the mistake of innocently writing a letter thinking I had moved to San Francisco, most liberal city in America, wrote a letter to Recreation and Parks asking for a permit, signed my name to it. That's why permits are outrageous for political protests, because then you can have what happens to me. Like, if you happen to become the person who stupidly signs a letter requesting a permit, or become, let me assure you, when you go and apply for a permit, they want a name of somebody. Then you become you get to be a target of police repression for the rest of your life. That's what you get to have if you apply for a permit for a protest that is not something that the government wants to have happen.
Quite an honor, Keith. Quite an honor.
You can get to face 3 strikes in jail and that whole, you know, get...
That's what happened to you last year. You were facing felonies for essentially distributing literature at the mayor's office and the board of supervisors areas up there at City Hall, at the old City Hall.
Yeah.
But luckily, you avoided that. It worked it down to a deal, and now currently you have no probation, no problem of any kind, right?
Theoretically, I am off the hook completely. However, I have to say that is theoretically, because I've not yet come across a government agency or official that kept their word or was honest about anything. So Even if you have it in writing, which I don't at this point even have a document saying that I'm off probation and everything is cool. All I have is like a handshake by my probation officer and quit sending me the letters from Amnesty International denouncing the city of San Francisco. That's all I have.
Talking about Amnesty International, there were at least two letters in 1994 and 1995 mentioning that should a Food Not Bombs member, in this case me, go to jail for serving free food, they would either consider adopting or actually adopt me as a prisoner of conscience. Now, what's the status of that? Is that likely to happen? And what would be the significance of that?
Okay, that is looking like it's going to happen. I just about just before this radio show interview started, I faxed more information about your case, which was requested by London yesterday.
That's where Amnesty International is located.
Yeah, the London office, and so they asked for more information. So I faxed them the Chronicle Examiner articles, our press release, most recent one that we did yesterday, and the article about Whittier. Plus, I've faxed them also the last correspondence we had from them to remind them of the specific case number.
Which was about a year ago, right?
Yeah, which is, it's in the summer it came out. It was denouncing the violence against the people who were beaten and injured.
The summer of 1995.
95, right. Mm-hmm. The UN 50 celebration repression that happened, over 600 arrests and a number of people injured. So they would have a reference to their past investigations, and it sounds like they are going to definitely declare you a prisoner of conscience. They're going to do a press release that will go worldwide, and you will be definitely the first person who will be considered, where they'll call for your unconditional release. We're trying to get them to call for your unconditional release in the next day or two so that momentum can be happening in that regard before the 17th.
It's interesting that for the first time we've actually gotten some Food Not Bombs, and the whole issue of the harassment of food servers and the harassment of people fighting for homeless rights has made some media coverage, not front page coverage, but some coverage in the San Francisco Chronicle and San Francisco Examiner, and also I guess one of the Sentinel down here in Santa Cruz picked it up as a wire service, so they did no independent story on it, even though we've been barraging them with press releases. That fact makes it really an opportune moment for folks in San Francisco and Santa Cruz, indeed anywhere, to write letters to these papers discussing this issue, because they're more likely to be printed now than they ever were, and now is the time to do it. Even though I'm going to be cooling my heels in a lockup, there are people, as you can hear out there, who are getting harassed and busted for serving free food in Whittier, in San Francisco, and I guess up in Arcata as well.
Arcata, there's also a very horrible thing going on in Houston, Texas, with the Houston Food Not Bombs, who has been, their space that they've been cooking out of and serving has been bulldozed by Cisneros of the Clinton administration, Housing and Urban Development, and is being hundreds of people are being displaced out of this amazing, like one of the few housing projects that I'd feel comfortable living in that I've seen. They're just tearing it down, and they've indicted the Food Not Bombs people there for trying to stop the bulldozers from ripping up these buildings. And there's people being jacked up in places like New York City's supposed to get arrested in June, so we're waiting to hear. They're supposed to be arrested at Tompkins Square Park, and also the Bronx Food Not Bombs has had food threats of food being taken by the New York Police Department too. So it seems like the criminalization of the homeless and their supporters is increasing. And of course, the entire military police apparatus here in North America, of course, is getting completely out of control.
Well, down here in Santa Cruz, as you know, the authorities have resorted to an actual injunction, usually in the past reserved for labor disputes, where they want to criminalize unions back in the 1800s, and I suppose also it's been used against protesters for Operation Rescue and groups that are in disfavor with the majority of Americans and so forth that they want to go after. Here in Santa Cruz, this injunction has been used to attack protesters at City Hall, the City Hall sleepers protest, where now one act of falling asleep, one act of cooking, preparing, or serving food, actually serving is not mentioned in the injunction, cooking, preparing, or storing food, but they have threatened to arrest people for serving, and one act of having an illegal sign is now the basis for an up to 6 months in jail under a contempt of court order, such as I received. I was talking about that before this interview. This is all a recorded show we're doing down here, Keith, because I'm in conference with city council members to support the protest now, even as the show goes on.
Fantastic.
Although, you know, it doesn't really mean much. The city council has so abrogated its civil rights responsibilities that it will not speak out publicly. Those members, that is, who oppose this injunction, those members who are at least concerned about maintaining a semblance of First Amendment rights here in Santa Cruz, they were unwilling to present declarations to the court, even confirming what they had said in a sort of in public forums of a sort. And so the court had only the declarations of Mayor Rotkin, his police chief, his police lieutenants, and the gardener to go on, and it granted this injunction on May 31st, which has the kinds of draconian restrictions that I've suggested. And our response tomorrow is to be an afternoon of food and fascism, perhaps. We're not going to provide the fascism. I think that's going to be provided for us. But we're going to provide the food, and that's going to be at 3 o'clock at City Hall Tuesday, June 11th. That's down here in Santa Cruz at 809 Center Street. And then again at 6:30, 3 o'clock, and then at 6:30, because what's happening at City Council tomorrow is the mayor, unable to get the injunction to close off the demonstration at night, is going to try to close off the city area at the City Hall grounds to all people after 9 o'clock at night.
Whoa.
And he's going to do so not by a law, which would be debatable and have a public hearing and require a couple of readings, but by a policy. And that policy, I presume, will allow the immediate posting of signs and the immediate closing down of the area so anyone who enters City Hall grounds after dark can be subject to trespass. This is similar to what they did at the town clock in 1991, again, to eliminate a homeless demonstration. A homeless demonstration that was, you know, embarrassing the city because it pointed out that there were no legal places for people to sleep, and yet people were being arrested for the act of falling asleep after 11 o'clock at night down here in Santa Cruz. So I invite all your listeners and Food Not Bombs as an organization and anyone concerned with social justice and just elementary human decency. You don't have to be a big fighter for politically correct causes to realize you can't arrest people for sleeping at night if there is no legal place for them to sleep. And now to that group should be adjoined the group that says, look, if people are protesting that issue, they should not be removed from City Hall simply because the politicians don't like their protest. That's a very bad precedent to set. They go after them today, they will go after you tomorrow. And that's a truism and a cliche, but it's also, unfortunately, can be very quickly become a truth.
It's definitely, unfortunately, become true. Because also, it's much more sinister than that. I mean, these people in the, you know, if we look at Arcata, at that case, the people in Arcata, the city attorney's office called the San Francisco city attorney's office to, because they wanted to find out how it was done, you know?
Yeah, the same thing is true with anti-homeless laws. You know, the whole business of don't sit on the sidewalk and don't ask for spare change, even peacefully. That whole packet of laws has been kicked around from Berkeley to Santa Cruz, and now it's showing up in, I guess, Palo Alto. We heard about that on the Ron Perucci's show, which is on KKUP some days ago. He pointed out that the repression is spreading like some kind of
toward the United States. You saw anti-panhandling laws and anti-city laws and anti-versateller type laws even up into Canada and Ottawa.
Yeah, it's another thing that's happening at the city council meeting tomorrow here in Santa Cruz. The authorities are going to try to put in two more spare change machines in Santa Cruz. Not spare change, I'm sorry. Change-making machines for parkers, which sounds like a convenience. But these machines are going to be located, one of them across from Woolworths on Pacific Avenue downtown, another up the street near Subway, which is a sandwich shop. And the point is, we have a law that says if you sit 50 feet from an ATM or from a change-making machine, you can be arrested. And if you do it twice, you can be put in jail for up to 6 months.
Right.
This is a direct attack on poor people who want or need to sit down, on young people who congregate and sit down on the street, but I should say on the sidewalk, but don't block the sidewalk. It's an attempt to give the police a tool to eliminate a whole class of people. And indeed, that seems to be what's happening, at least that's what is being pressed for by the merchants here in Santa Cruz. So I invite Food Not Bombs and to come on down from San Francisco and other groups. I guess a little bit late, of course, because the show will probably be airing after that Tuesday demonstration. We are told by some police officers that there will be arrests for serving free food.
Oh, really?
Yes. But we don't know that for sure. We've heard that others say, no, only if you store, cook, or prepare free food. But we will also have a local restaurant owner has donated us some soup, and we're going to be serving that soup tomorrow. And you're invited to come down, Keith, even though it may mean aborting your radio show and giving it to an alternate host. Or
I am actually trying to do that, trying to get that to happen.
You have a great radio show from 5 to 7 on Liberation Radio.
Yes, I do, and I'm searching around to find somebody that might be able to do that, and that I might be able to do it actually by phone in part from down at the scene.
Yeah, we actually have a phone that people used to use to call the City Hall sleepers, which is going to be right in the middle of the action, but the...
Have they pulled the plug on?
They haven't pulled the plug on the phone outgoing, but you can no longer receive incoming calls.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yes. Well, look, I'm...
Well, good luck, and stay in touch, and I'm about to do more faxes around the world.
Right. Keep me advised as to what's happening. You have our fax number down here.
Yeah, give that to me again.
All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you, and I'll give it to you off the air.
Okay.
Actually, for anybody who wants to get in touch, give a call to 423-4833 or 423-HUFF, area code 408. And I want to thank you, Keith McHenry.
Thank you very much. Take care.
I'm on the line with Gary Yamane of the Citizens Police Review Board. You're the staff director of that board?
Staff coordinator.
In fact, one of the few staff, I guess there are two of you there working in the office.
Right. Two part-time staff here.
And you have a meeting today of the Citizens Police Review Board.
That's correct. It's our regular monthly meeting. It's at 5 o'clock, City Council Chambers. Public is invited to attend.
And I understand that if they want to speak during the kind of free speech oral communications period, they should come during the first half hour?
Correct.
Probably should show up close to 5 if they want to make sure they're not passed over.
Right.
Well, what is on the agenda, Gary, and what is the Police Review Board been particularly concerned with recently?
Oh, there are several things on the agenda. It's a very full agenda tonight. The board will be considering and making a decision on the hearing procedures that have come back from the meet and confer process between the city manager and the Police Officers Association. So that is on the agenda, and that's a big deal because we've been waiting to get the hearing procedures through so that the board has some sort of procedures to actually hold a hearing.
So I understand that we're not talking about the complaint procedures, we're actually talking about the hearing procedures. We're
talking about the hearing procedures, right.
Any particular points of controversy in that process of development, points of dispute that might interest folks who are concerned about that?
Well, I think there are, yeah. I think there are concerns with the Police Officers Association and the city manager that they were not able to work out. I think one is the right of the subpoena power of the board.
The police department doesn't want to accept that right?
They don't believe that the board has that right.
Wasn't that authorized as part of the enabling legislation of the board?
That's correct. It is part of the ordinance, but they're saying that there's legal precedence that says that an advisory body does not have subpoena powers. So,
go ahead.
So that will be, what I anticipate is that the hearing procedures will be passed and the City Council will adopt them, and the first time the board has a hearing and chooses to use subpoenas, the police may or may not comply with them.
Now, has the failure of the board so far to adopt hearing procedures, and what we are a year and a half beyond the board's initiation, right, which is it's about a year and a half old now?
Well, I wouldn't say it's the board's failure. The board worked on them right away. It took them about 6 months to draft something that they agreed upon. It's been in meet and confer since then, so it's not just the board's procedure. The City Council has to approve these hearing procedures, and they're just now going to get presented with them.
Yeah.
So it's a long process. It's a very big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One would have thought, though, that the process was essentially determined by the City Council when they passed the enabling law.
Unfortunately, they had nothing specific about hearings except that the board would be able to have a hearing, but they had no procedures outlined, and I think it was because they knew that it was a very difficult thing to draft, and they had spent 3 or 4 years drafting the ordinance itself, and they were going to just pass this work on to the board.
Mm-hmm. You know, hearings have been a very important issue for me. I've recently had several complaints summarily rejected by the board,
right,
as well as by the police department, and I had also requested that there be public hearings, as well as an independent investigation, which,
right,
of course, is another kettle of fish, but
right,
public hearings, and I understand your board has had no public hearings at all whatsoever since its inception. Is that correct?
Public hearings in terms of complaints, that's correct.
Yes, and of course, that's the meat, the bread and butter, the tofu and rice of the board, you might say, here in vegetarian Santa Cruz. And does this mean that the reason we haven't had public hearings is because there's been no process for it, or?
I think that's only part of it. I think the board hasn't felt that there has been a case that has warranted it so far.
So we're waiting for an officer to shoot somebody in cold blood, and then possibly there'll be some misconduct public hearing held?
I couldn't tell you. I'm not a board member, so I can't tell you what they would choose to have a hearing on, but I know that it would have to be something that they consider very serious.
Well, I understand the board has also voted not to have any criteria for what a public hearing would actually be held for. In other words, an individual who wants a public hearing has no indication of what she has to present, what level of seriousness, and what kind of evidence she has to present to get the board to make its closed secret sessions public.
I believe that's true. When the board was drafting the hearing procedures, they talked about, you know, whether they wanted to include criteria for when they would have a hearing, and my recollection was they decided not to, that it would just be on the vote of the board whether to have a hearing or not. And that might be something that they change at some point. But as it stands right now, it is not included in the hearing procedures.
The board itself, the composition of the board, has changed since its initiation back in 1994, I think, in December or something.
Right. Correct.
You have three new members who have been appointed recently. Has there been any significant shift in the board's ideology or in how the board has been operating with these new members?
Not that I've seen, no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Because a lot of us felt that John Malkin and Phyllis Tressler, even though Phyllis was formerly a police officer involved with the police department, that they were, in a sense, the best hope for those who really wanted to get some serious response from the police department to concerns. And now what we've got is new members. So actually, I like Alan Sowell. I knew him as a reporter on the Hill Press. And there's an incoming call. You got to go too, right?
That's right.
Listen, thank you for this brief interview, and good luck to you, Gary Amani. Hope to see you at 5 o'clock tonight.
Okay. You're listening to 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides, the abbreviated recorded version. Looks like Pat Ring wasn't able to make it as guest host, but hopefully you had an interesting time with John Stewart, who spoke about what he spoke about. One final story before we leave you from the Monday Chronicle, today's San Francisco Chronicle. Fairfield man dies in police custody. Pepper spray used on patient who left psychiatric ward by Tara Shiora. A Fairfield man died in police custody Saturday after officers used pepper gas and a stun gun, actually pepper spray, to stop him from running through a residential neighborhood, breaking windows and yelling at residents. James Parkinson, 25, had a history of mental illness and walked away from an adult psychiatric ward at a Fairfield facility earlier in the day. Police Sergeant Chuck Tim said Parkinson began running through the usually quiet area near San Clemente and San Juan streets around 4 p.m., breaking the windows of several homes while tearing off his clothes and yelling that he was looking for Jesus Christ. He then broke into a house and assaulted a woman, ran down the street, and began pummeling a light pole with his fists. Officers tried unsuccessfully to calm Parkinson by talking to him, Tim said. Police shot him twice with a taser stun gun, but he still was unfazed. Police then tackled him and used pepper spray. An ambulance arrived to tend to Parkinson's injuries. When paramedics strapped him to the gurney, he stopped breathing. He was then taken to North Bay Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead. The use of pepper spray, a liquid chemical that restricts breathing, has been linked to a condition known as custody death syndrome. and has been hotly debated in recent years. One watchdog group has linked the use of pepper spray to 26 deaths in California police incidents since 1993, and the American Civil Liberties Union and others have urged the state to adopt tighter controls on its use. The precise cause of the syndrome is unknown, perhaps directly out of the PR department of the police stations throughout our nation, but it is associated with a combination of fear, pepper spray exposure, and stimulant drugs such as cocaine or methamphetamine. A small percentage of individuals suffer from mental illness. Victims are often nude, incoherent, and sweating profusely when found by police and die suddenly after being physically restrained. As evidence of the spray's risks, critics cite instances such as the death last summer of Aaron Williams after San Francisco police used pepper gas to subdue him. The Solano County District Attorney's Office will investigate Parkinson's death, and county coroners will perform an autopsy today, but Fairfield Police Spokesman Tim said he is confident that the police acted appropriately. When have they never? What you're trying to do is use the least amount of force you can, he said, but you need a force that is equal to and can overcome their resistance. Law enforcement officers maintain that compared to non-lethal measures like batons, the spray known also as oleoresin capsicum, or OC, is safer for all parties involved. Spokesman Tim said Fairfield police have had one other in-custody death in which pepper spray was involved, when a man who had taken many times what will be considered a lethal dose of methamphetamine died in 1994 while being booked into the county jail. Pepper spray in the news again. I believe there's going to be a show on it on cable access, Channel 72, is it? Possibly tomorrow night, Tuesday evening. More information about that, give a call to 423-HUFF. We'll try and let you know what's going on with that, or perhaps you might even call the cable access station yourself. Pepper spray is still in the hands of some of our downtown hosts, and of course our downtown police use it. It's apparently lethal in certain cases. It has been banned in San Francisco by the DA's office, though the San Francisco Police Commission has upheld its use. I think we need to look at this seriously again here in Santa Cruz. This has been Bathrop Spears Broadsides, and sorry for the short edition. We're in consultation with city council members trying to support the City Hall sleepout. Come tomorrow, Tuesday, 3 to 6:30 and beyond, actually 3 to throughout the city council meeting in the evening, to discuss what needs to be done to end the sleeping ban, to resecure rights for homeless people, and to stop the harassment politically of those who are engaging in perfectly peaceful First Amendment protest around that issue. If you want to be on the show, tune in next week, or I should say